Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How's it going, campers? Who got good sleep last night? Who didn't sleep last night? Okay, yep. You guys are going to be hurting by Wednesday. I'm not going to drop the remote today. Very carefully set it right there. All right. Okay, get your Bibles out and flip over to Philippians. Still in chapter 1. Did you guys have good cabin Devo time?
Yeah.
Had some good conversations? Good.
Lots of questions?
Awesome. Okay, I want to start with a question, and maybe it connects to your Devo time, or maybe you can just share, but...
Lights.
The light. Did anybody's joy increase yesterday? Anybody get a little bit happier? A little bit closer to Jesus? Would anyone like to share an example of something that happened that increased your joy yesterday? Something that was good. Yeah, right here in front.
I went to sleep with a smile on my face.
Went to sleep with a smile on your face. That is awesome. That is honestly so cool. It's so simple, but just to be so happy about the day and just to go to sleep happy, that's really cool. Yeah. Cabin leader read you the armor of God before you went to bed. What a cool way to go to sleep, thinking about the armor of God. Okay, I got to go to the other side of the room over here. Pink shirt.
I got to make so many friends when I have to sleep. I have to sleep with all my friends.
Okay, so getting some more friends. That was a big part of last night, wasn't it? Thinking about how, like, serving Christ with friends increases your joy for sure. Right there, striped shirt, hand up. Who read you bedtime stories? Evan read you bedtime stories? Were you guys all tucked in, snug as bugs and rugs? You had some bedtime stories? That's awesome. Okay, right back there, right there. Purple shirt. Oh, that's so awesome. That's one of the best things about camp, making friends that also believe in Christ. And this guy is so, he wants to answer. Go ahead, last one right here.
I got a game yesterday that I've been waiting for.
You got a game?
It cost half my money.
Oh, what game? You blew half of your camp account on what game?
It's kind of hard to say.
Oh, okay, so... You don't know what game you bought?
Do you?
His joy increased. That up and to the right. Up and to the right. Well, that is awesome. Money can't buy happiness, right? But sometimes money buys things that bring us happiness, right? Well, that's awesome. I hope you guys share with each other ways that your joy is increasing, and I hope as we keep studying the Word together, our joy is going to increase. Okay, so we are going to look at verses 12 through 18 in Philippians here. And let's start by reading the word, and then we'll pray. So Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 12, and we're going to go through verse 18. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is because I am in Christ. Most of the brothers have gained confidence in the Lord for my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the word fearlessly. To be sure, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. These preach out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, thinking that they will cause me trouble in my imprisonment. What's it matter? Only that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice because I know this will lead to my salvation through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now as always, with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. And those are bonus verses. I read through 20. Okay, let's pray real quick and then we'll jump in. Father, thank you so much for your word, and I pray that you would help us to understand what Paul is writing here and how it affects us, how it changes us, and what it will mean to live like Paul, who can celebrate even when bad things happen to him. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Oh, Jesus. I want to tell you guys a couple of stories. Maybe you caught it in the reading. But Paul says to his friends in Philippians that he's writing to, I want you to know that what has happened to me. And as a good friend, Paul doesn't want the people that he's writing to be worried because some crazy stuff has happened to him. And we'll get to that in just a second. But I want to tell you a couple of stories of things that have happened to me. And these two stories will be examples of some of the things that might happen to you in life. The first involves a bus. Who rides the bus still? Okay, who's one of those bougie kids that gets your parent to drop you off at school? Okay. Back in the 90s. Back in the 80s and 90s, I rode the bus, okay? Bus kids, woo, okay? Man, I used to have a Discman. Actually, when I first started in the bus, I had a Walkman. There were these things called cassettes. They were these tiny little things. You had to be careful because they could, like, pull out, you know? But I was trying to listen to music on the bus. Bus can be a scary place, but... This particular bus ride from Wayland, Michigan, back to Schoolcraft, Michigan, where I lived and went to school, was a little lonely. You want to know why? Because I had an entire bus all to myself. Just me and the bus driver and coolers and crates full of food and game supplies because I had been imprisoned on this bus after seventh grade camp and was riding alone as a punishment from seventh grade camp at Yankee Springs State Park back to Schoolcraft, Michigan. Would you like to know why I was imprisoned on this bus and had to ride all by myself on the supply bus? Well, seventh grade camp, okay? It was the thing we looked forward to in middle school. How many of you do a camp at your school? Maybe it's like fifth grade, maybe seventh grade. Okay, yeah, you look forward to this. It's like epic. And we would go to this group camp at Yankee Springs, camp with our friends for a whole week, and then come back to school. Well, the last night, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do something awesome. I'm going to break out of my cabin in the middle of the night, and I'm going to go spy on the counselors who were playing euchre in the dining hall. And this plan hatched sometime around Wednesday, and I shared it with my friends, and everyone was like, yeah, that would be awesome. We could peek in the windows and watch our counselors play euchre and they'd never know and we'll sneak back. So everyone was like, this sounds cool. This sound cool? Anyone? Yeah? Sneak it out? Okay. Well, Thursday night, the last night, it's now or never. And my friends, those chickens, it was time. And it was time to go to bed. And so we all, you know, like put on our sleeping clothes, pajamas, whatever. We get in bed. Our counselor's like, okay, everybody, see you in the morning. Bye. Leaves. And I'm like, let's go. Get out of bed, change my clothes. And everyone else is like, yeah, I don't know. We're kind of tired. I don't think it's a good idea. We shouldn't do this. And I'm like, what? This is our chance. We'll be legends. No one went with me. And you know what that did to me? That made me want to do it even more. I'll show you guys. I'll sneak out, and I'll do it by myself. And then I will be the legend, and you guys will be the losers who didn't go with me. They're like, Kyle, don't do it. You're going to get in trouble. I'm like, man, I play army in the woods, okay? I am not going to get caught. So I did it. I snuck out. I crawled out the window because I didn't want the door to make noise. Crawled out the window, snuck in the dark without a flashlight through the woods. And I'm going down the main path to the dining hall, and I get about halfway, and then all of a sudden, I see a light come out of the dining hall, a flashlight. And then, through like some camp lights or whatever, even though it's dark, I see that it's Mr. Hass, the JV football coach and the science teacher. There was something called the Hass hold, okay? When you were in trouble in science class and Mr. Hass caught you, he would come and he'd put this iron grip on your shoulder and you would stop screwing around. And of course, it's Mr. Hass coming down the pathway. And I'm like, shoot! So I run into the woods, of course, where I think I'm like completely invisible and hidden. And I sit there. And the flashlight gets closer and it's like bobbing back and forth. And then I'm a little scared now. I close my eyes and I sit next to a tree. And then all of a sudden I realize the light is shining right on my face. And then I hear a, Douglas? Is that you? Mr. Hass saw me. I had hid 5 feet off of the trail in completely exposed, and I'm busted. And he's like, what are you doing? Come with me. And I had to go back up to the dining hall. According to protocol, I should have had to call my parents at that point, which was like 11:30 at night, and have them come up and get me. But they decided, since it was the last night of camp, that I could go back, sleep. But in the morning, I couldn't have breakfast with anybody, and I had to ride the supply bus home. Okay? I was not a legend anymore. I was a dummy, okay? Anyone else done something really dumb like that and you got caught? Okay. Share those stories at lunch. That would be really fun to share. Now, the reason I share that story is because we're about to hear about Paul doing something, and he's in prison, but not for doing something dumb like me. It's for a different reason. There are times when you do dumb things in your life and you suffer the consequences and you deserve it. Okay? You're not suffering for Jesus. You're suffering because you made bad choices. And it's still an opportunity to grow. But I share that because we're about to talk about how some things happen to us that aren't our fault or because we've actually done something right, and that's really when we need God's help in our life. But when you do something that's just like dumb, suffer the consequences honorably, okay? Now, that was story number one. Story number two, a little different. I'm older now. I'm in ministry. I am serving as an associate pastor at a church. And while I'm serving as associate pastor at this church, I'm in seminary, and so I'm studying to become a lead pastor. And it's coming up on my graduation. And the lead pastor of this small church approached me and said, "Hey, Kyle, I'm getting older. I'm ready to kind of take a break. And how about when you graduate seminary, we switch roles? You're younger. We need more young people in our church. And how about you take the lead pastor position, and I'll go to a part-time visitation pastor, and we can keep serving the church." Sounded like a great idea. It was kind of like an answer, to the prayer that I was praying about what to do with my life and next step in ministry. So we talked to the elders, and all the elders are excited about it, and they think it's a really cool idea. And so we make a proposal to the church. And it did not go well. Half of the church got really mad. And it was so weird. It was like, wait a second, isn't this a good thing? And all the elders are like behind this, and so shouldn't this be like really positive? So then we're like, man, half the people don't want this to happen, so let's take a break. Let's take the proposal off the table. Let's think about, you know, what we're doing, find out why. Thought about it, kind of adjusted some things, went back and proposed it again, and this time even more people were fighting against it. And now, like, I'm starting to, my feelings are hurt, right? Because I'm like, man, this church that I've been serving at for several years, and I have family in, and, I mean, the family were supportive of me, but, you know, all these people that I really loved and thought loved me, like, now don't want me to be their pastor. What is going on? And it ended up coming to a vote again, and it gets voted down, and the elders were really frustrated, and we had a decision that if I stayed, half the church was going to leave, and if I left, half the church was going to leave. And we decided to step away from that church and go to another place. Later, I found out that the side that was against me was really driven by two people. One guy I had disagreed with in a board meeting about what kind of roof we should put on the church. He wanted a metal roof, and I was on the side that we should get the shingled roof because it was less expensive. And so he was frustrated that I had opposed him. The other guy had been in a class that I was teaching where I had shared a very personal story of some of my own failure and sin and how that was a struggle that I was still working through, and, you know, just talking about how Jesus was, like, working in me and how his grace was covering me, but I had these, like, sins and failures. And he was so shocked that his pastor would admit that he was struggling with something, that he went and told all the church what I had shared in that context and got people against me, saying I was a bad guy. Now, that situation was different than the first, wasn't it? Is it a good thing for pastors to be humble and talk about the stuff that we struggle with and how Jesus is working in our life too? Yeah, for sure. Was I trying to serve the people the best I knew how? Yeah. And yet, even though I was doing a good thing, there were people that were upset with me and were fighting against me. Now, what's cool about that story, and will connect us to the story in Philippians, is that a lot of good came from leaving that church, even though I was really broken. Because I went from that church to a church called Lighthouse. And even though I thought it was kind of a step back because I had wanted to be a senior pastor, I went back into youth ministry. I had 5 years of joyful healing with some Lighthouse crew that are your counselors here. And I got to be my kids' youth pastor again for a time. I got to have fun in church again. I got to get back on track and, you know, with ministry. And so the thing that had been really difficult and was a real challenge in Christ actually turned out to produce a lot of good and fruit that we're still seeing in my life and other people's life today. So, what's going on with Paul here? When he says, "I want you to know that what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel." Paul is in chains. That's a way to say that he's been arrested. And when you were arrested in those times, oftentimes you were literally chained in your prison cell or sometimes to a guard. Can you imagine being literally chained? You know, have a chain around your ankle and connected to a guard. If you go to the bathroom, you have to ask to go to the bathroom. If you want to get up and take a walk, you have to ask for permission. Really, really tough. And Paul currently is in chain. We don't know whether it was his Ephesian arrest or his arrest in Rome. That's kind of debated, but we know that he's been arrested. And he's been arrested because he's a bold Christian. Remember that he has his life has been transformed by Jesus, and so his entire life is about telling other people about how Jesus loves them and has died for their sins and has raised again from the dead. And so he's being bold with that, and people are upset. And so he's been arrested, and he's in chains. Now, getting arrested is typically a pretty shameful thing, isn't it? How many of you have gotten in trouble? Don't raise your hand. But you've gone to the principal's office, or you got kicked out of a class. Go ahead, raise your hand if you have. Go ahead. Okay, yep, a couple of you. Isn't it kind of embarrassing? I mean, maybe some of you are real heathens, and you're like, yeah, going to the principal's office, you know. You're like walking past classes like, yeah, buddy, got in trouble again. But usually you're kind of embarrassed. Like, you don't want to, you want to hide your face. When you see someone in the news get arrested, oftentimes what do? They're walking down, or they're blur, or they put their hoodie over their head because it's a shameful thing to get arrested. I had a close family member in a bad situation and was arrested based on an accusation of something that happened. And very quickly, like, the news got a hold of it and put his picture up on the news. And my aunt called me crying. Like, what happened? What happened? It's embarrassing. It's shameful. Even if there's nothing to it, just to be accused, just to be arrested is something that can bring a lot of shame and worry about the situation. And so Paul is trying to comfort the Philippians to say, hey, I know it looks bad that I got arrested, but I want you to know that I got arrested for something good because I'm serving Christ. And my arrest has actually furthered the mission. And this is a really cool God thing, because none of us want bad things to happen, but the reality is that when you're living for Jesus, God often takes bad situations and does a lot of good through them. It's one of the signs of God's great love and power, that when you serve God faithfully, even when something bad, bad in the world's eyes, happens to you, God is actually using it as a part of his plan. Because remember, he has a plan, and he's working all things together for the good. And he's going to complete what he starts in us. So let's look at some of the ways that Paul says good is coming from this situation. Number one, it's giving him chances to talk about Jesus. He says, everybody that comes across me is going to know why I'm in chains. Every guard, every magistrate, every governor, every food service person, Paul uses it as a way to talk about Jesus and the gospel. And so if you're really sold out for Jesus, I just want to warn you, because he may bring you into circumstances that aren't fun, aren't comfortable, aren't easy, but he's doing it so that you can brag about Jesus and have opportunities to share with people who might not otherwise have heard about him. That's one of the unfortunate things about church, right? We love church, and usually we think, okay, yeah, church is the primary way that we want to tell people about Jesus, because we have worship and we have sermons, and so, like, of course, bring them to church. But there are a lot of people, right, that don't want to go to church. They think it's weird, it's uncomfortable, they don't believe yet, so why would they go? I mean, think about you going to some other religion's worship, like, you know, a synagogue or a temple. You wouldn't want to do that, right? It would seem creepy and uncomfortable. So sometimes God decides, rather than trying to bring people into churches, he takes the people in the churches out into the world. And sometimes you got to be arrested to have the opportunity. So that's number one. Number two, this is so cool. He says in verse 13, so that it has become known and everyone else at my prison because of Christ. Sorry, 14, most of the brothers have gained confidence in the Lord from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the word fearlessly. Sometimes God will use you to be an example for others, to give them the courage to also be bold. Those of you in sports, maybe some of you are captains or a leader on your team, and I bet you got that opportunity because you were setting an example for other people. Coach tells you to show up for conditioning, and he says, go run that hill. And everyone's looking at the hill, and they're like, that looks terrible, and I don't want to do this, and I think I'm going to fake an ankle injury so I don't have to run that thing, right? But you know what? Even though you don't want to do it and you know it's going to hurt, you're like, let's go, let's go. And then you take off and you're in the lead and everyone's like, well, okay, if he could do it, I don't want to be left behind. And so they chase after you too. You going through hard times and staying faithful to Jesus is an example to other people that gives them courage. Have you ever been encouraged by watching a friend be kind of bold for Jesus somewhere? Or have a conversation with someone, and you're like, man, if they can do it, maybe I could too. So Paul says it's a good thing because other people aren't afraid to go to prison either now. So you can encourage others by your example. Oh, sorry, guys. Clicking it on my computer, but not the... Sorry. Two, there we go. Then three. All right, this is kind of cool. I feel like this is kind of like a judo kind of thing, you know? Getting enemies of Jesus talking about Jesus. Maybe you've heard the phrase, there's no such thing as bad press. So when you want to get famous, you don't really care if people are talking good or bad about you. The whole point is that they're talking about you. And Paul's like, you know what? I don't care if people are against Jesus, because it's putting Jesus on their lips. Everybody's talking about him, and even if they're for or against, like, the buzz about Jesus is in the community, and people are probably going to be in conversations at dinner and at home and in the workplace, and they're going to be like, yeah, what do you think about Paul? Like, should he be in prison? Or, you know, did you hear what that guy was saying about some guy rising from the dead, right? And someone goes, yeah, that's stupid. And then someone in the corner is like, well, I don't know, did he? So Paul is just happy that even if people who don't like Jesus are talking about Jesus, they're talking about Jesus. So kind of a cool thing that comes from a challenging circumstance. Then number four, this shows up here in verse 19. He says, because I know this will lead to my salvation through your prayers. My salvation. Now, when he says my salvation, he's not actually talking about like being saved for eternity, because that's already happened. And, you know, even if Paul dies, he knows he's going to go to heaven because his sins are forgiven. You know, it's the beauty of the gospel. But he's talking about he's going to be saved from this present circumstance because hearing about it is causing people to pray. And I hate to say it, but oftentimes we don't pray until things get bad. Amen? We should be praying all the time, no matter what. But often you don't really get motivated to pray. You don't have that need to talk to God until you're scared or you're hurting or you don't know what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, you know, they call them foxhole prayers because soldiers who went in foxholes, all of a sudden they become religious, you know, like in war, having to do something scary. But it doesn't really matter why you're praying. The fact is you're praying, and Paul is happy that other people, because of his circumstances, are being motivated to pray. And things happen when God's people start to pray. Now, the last one that he points out is opportunities for the Spirit of Jesus Christ to do something awesome. So he's happy because people are praying for him, which is really good, and he knows that God will answer people's prayers, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, will do something to glorify God. It might be by, like, getting him out of trouble. It might be saving someone unexpectedly. It might be some kind of miracle. He doesn't know what's going to happen, but he is confident that God's Spirit is going to do something really cool. And hard opportunities give God a chance to show up and do something awesome. When I was leaving that church, I went through that thing, you know, I was like, I don't know, I think I'm just going to give up on ministry. Because if this is how the church goes, and like here I'm trying to do everything right, and I, you know, finally went back to school and I got my degree, and this is how, like, you repay me, God? Like, what is going on? Is it like, or maybe it's me. Maybe I am just terrible and I shouldn't be a pastor. But then I get a call from a guy named Rick. He's like, hey, here you're available. Want to have lunch? Out of the blue. And then so many good things came from that. So the Holy Spirit can work in our lives. Okay, here's the main point I'm going to leave you with. I got two clickers here. All right. We don't have to like pain, but we can find joy in every opportunity to talk about Jesus or see him work. Amen. Yeah, dude. Where you at, bro? Right there? You agree with that? Awesome. I do too. Now, we don't have to like pain. This is something that is very important to understand about this, because sometimes you go through something hard and people are like, oh, it's okay. God's awesome. It's going to work out for good. You should like the fact that people smeared your name in the mud. You should like the fact that you broke your leg and can't, you know, participate with other people. Isn't it great? No, it's not great. It's still terrible, and it's hard, and it hurts. Jesus isn't asking you to like the pain. Jesus did not like the pain of the cross. In fact, he asked God, remember when he prayed in the garden, he said, if this cup can pass from me, please, I don't want to go through the pain. But because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And because of the good things that God can do in your life through the pain, you endure the pain and you get through it. Okay. Final question for you guys to think about. Are you going through a challenge right now? Is there something in your life that's pretty difficult, that's hard, that's painful? And there's all kinds of levels to this, okay? From like kind of small things to sort of big things. Firstly, if it's your fault, take the consequences honorably. If you've done something wrong, if you've hurt somebody, if you just messed up, just admit it. Confess it to God. Confess it to the people that you've wronged. Take it and grow from it, okay? It's okay to mess up. Just get back on track. And know that, okay, this was my mistake, and I'm gonna be a more mature person, or I'm going to be a better person after this. I'm going to grow from this, and I'm going to honor Jesus by the way that I handle my mistake, okay? So that's option number one. But some of you are suffering, and it's not your fault. And maybe it's directly because of Jesus, or maybe it's just a circumstance that you're having to deal with that isn't your fault, but I just want to ask you, are you praying about it? Are you praying through it? And when people see you handling the situation, are you setting an example as someone who truly loves Jesus and how you're getting through it. Your friend watching you go through your parents' divorce or a church fight or whatever, when they watch you, are they going to become more like Jesus if they copy you? Or are you showing them how the world will handle it? And are you sharing about Jesus as you go through the situation? Are you using it as an opportunity to talk about him and to grow in your faith? Good things to think about. Let me pray, and then you guys can head out, okay? Lord God, thank you so much for these scriptures here that are teaching us how to go through hard things, and they are difficult things, and when they happen to us, I just pray, Lord, that your spirit would work, that we'd use the opportunities to bring you glory, even if it's through our own repentance, but especially when we're persecuted or going through something simply because we've done the right thing, God. We want to lift you up and be an example to others around us, and we can only do that through your power. So help us to rejoice anytime the gospel advances, even if it's through a hard time in our life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.